This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to check in again with the FBI, and it's ugly. We're going to check on the economy. And there's a story out there people aren't talking about but should be. All that's coming up on I'm Right. All right, we'll get to the stories of the day here in just a moment, but there's something we want to do, something we always do on the show, something that's very important to us, honoring the fallen, but in a different way than normal. Let me explain. Many people, and we love this, honor military people or cops who fall in combat, and I'm glad we do that, and we always should. In my opinion, we neglect the people who die in training. But the truth is, the people who die in combat training, and, you know, training for, a fireman just died in New York not long ago, and things like, in training. People who die in training, they are every bit as heroic as the ones who charged a machine gun nest. And their sacrifice is every bit as valuable. Now, that's not, it's no comfort to the families, right, who got that knock at the door saying, Dad's never coming home again. It's not a comfort there. But in the end, I hope they do take that into account. Dad didn't just die in some stupid training accident and it was all for nothing. Those training accidents, that's how military, cops, fire, that's how they learn hard lessons about what works, what doesn't work, what's faulty, and lives in the end will be saved. But training for combat is a dangerous bit of business. So let me do something before I read their names, actually, because we just lost five of them. Helicopter crash, Black Hawk over the Mediterranean. These guys were part of the 160th Special Operation Aviation Regiment. Now, what does that mean? For most people, that means nothing. So allow me to explain. So actually, it's really, really cool. They're called the Night Stalkers, all right? The Night Stalkers. What do they do? Well, you ever talk to a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, any of these types, any of these super high-speed, super ninja types? I certainly was never anything like that, but I'm friends with many of those guys, and I do talk to them. And the way they speak about the helicopter crews who bring them in, get them out, provide cover for them, the way they speak about them as if they're above themselves. The last Green Beret I talked to, he talked about these crews, these special operations helicopter crews, and he said, those guys are braver than we are. He said, they're crazy. These guys with these Night Stalkers, man, they don't have an option. You know, if they drop somebody off behind enemy lines and then it's time to go get them, or they get in trouble, time to go save them, they don't have the option like every other flight crew does in the world of saying, ooh, I don't know, have you checked your weather app? Oh, it's kind of windy. No, it doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter. They have to go or everyone on the ground dies. And these guys do insanely brave things in these helicopters. And training accident, some kind of refueling thing, that's what we know. But they're gone. And we just wanted to honor them tonight to open up the show. Here are their names. Chief Warrant Officer Stephen R. Dwyer of Tennessee. Chief Warrant Officer Shane Barnes of California, Staff Sergeant Tanner Groan of New Hampshire, Sergeant Andrew Southard of Arizona, Sergeant Cade Wolf of Minnesota. So we honor those heroes today the same as we would any other, and we respect their sacrifice. Now, let's move on. Speaking of veterans. So this FBI manhunt, we touched on it last week, but the FBI, they hunted down yet another one of these dangerous January 6th guys. How dangerous was this guy? Well, I mean, he was in the military police forever. He was a military police sergeant. They sent dozens of unarmed agents into his home. We now know, courtesy of Julie Kelly and her reporting, that they staked out his house for 3 months prior to his arrest. Staked out his house for 3 months prior to his arrest. This human being is not a career criminal, clean record. He's not a member of the cartel. He's not a human trafficker. He's not a Chinese spy. This human being really is just a normal person. And the Federal Bureau of Investigation dedicated a team to stake out his home for 3 months. Listen to how it was covered.
An all-out manhunt tonight in this small central New Jersey town just 40 miles southwest of New York City. After this man, wanted in connection to the attack at the Capitol on January 6, evaded arrest. Gregory Yetman, fleeing on foot into the wooded area near his home. The FBI leading the multi-agency manhunt in the town of Helmeta. Officers in tactical gear, looking in vehicles, teams moving through backyards, armed with long guns and canines.
There were officers running through everybody's yards. Asking questions.
Even though the sun has gone down, we can still see Joint Terrorism Task Force agents going door to door looking for Yetman. Tonight, authorities are urging residents to shelter in place.
There were a couple parts of that video I want you to focus on, but really that last part is the most important part, and it's why I wanted to play it tonight. The Joint Terrorism Task Force? Mr. Producer, just checking, that is what she said, right? The Joint Terrorism Task Force. Yes, the southern border's open, and we've had how many Islamists pouring into this country with plans to do us harm? Many. Chinese spies all across the nation, as I mentioned, cartels, various others. But you see, this is the part that the American right has to understand. And they don't understand it fully yet. You probably do. I'm not worried about you personally. But especially Republican AGs, Republican governors, Republican state senators, Republican state legislatures. They have got to understand what has already happened in this country. And allow me to explain it. You remember 9/11, right? Obviously, I don't need to explain to you what happened on 9/11. The towers coming down and all those things. What happened after 9/11? In the wake of 9/11, what happened within the walls of the government? The entire American government, every single part of our national security apparatus, from the CIA, NSA, FBI, they created entire new agencies like the DHS, which is over all those things, military, everything else. They all took all their focus and all their guns, and they aimed it at radical jihad. Islamists. And as a result, how many of those people were arrested or killed both in America and around the globe? A lot, right? That's the number's a lot. Okay, so you're still with me? Just stay with me here. So after 9/11, the American government aimed all of its guns at radical Islamists, called them terrorists, which of course they were, and killed and imprisoned a lot of them. Okay, still with me? This is the part many people on the right have not fully accepted yet. In the minds of the American government and the national security apparatus in this country, the terrorist now is you.
We faced adversity on September 11th, 2001, when the towers and the Pentagon were unexpectedly struck, killing thousands of lives in an instant. We faced adversity right here in the House of Representatives when on January 6, 2021, a violent mob of insurrectionists, incited by some in this chamber, overran the House floor as part of an effort to halt the peaceful transfer of power.
That's the most powerful Democrat in the United States House of Representatives without the slightest bit of hesitation, talking about the terrorists who dropped those towers and you in the same breath. How could the FBI act this way? How could they conduct themselves this way? Because the FBI is full of people who believe that you and your patriotism and your First Amendment and your Second Amendment, that you are a terrorist. The CIA believes you are a terrorist. Every Democrat believes you are a terrorist. Half the Republicans believe you are a terrorist. The DHS believes you are a terrorist. And they intend to conduct themselves with you in the exact same way they conducted themselves with Islamic Jihad. Does that sound scary to you? I hope it does, because the future of this country is frightening unless Republicans in office, in state office, forget about the losers in federal office, in state office, until they start getting proactive and they stop participating in multi-agency task forces, until they start getting proactive about protecting their citizens from an evil federal government, well, we got some rough roads ahead of us. I'll just cap it off with this one in case you weren't worried enough yet. We have another whistleblower coming forward. You know what his allegations about the FBI are? The FBI, they're actually purging agents as we speak with military records. Why do you think that is? You see, the FBI, they're building a secret state police agency for one purpose and one purpose only. And those pesky patriotic veterans, they're the most likely ones to get in the way. If they're getting those guys out of the way, well, all that may have made you uncomfortable. But I am right. We have quite a show for you. In fact, I have a former FBI agent joining us now. Let's hear what Garrett thinks about my warnings. Are they over the top, ridiculous? You don't have to take it from me. I'm just a talk show host. What does the FBI agent have to say about it? Before we get to him, let's get to this. I saw an article today, and very few things make my jaw drop, but man, just how fast things are moving. This one was out of Ireland. And the article, you know what the article was lamenting? The article was lamenting how long it was going to take them to kill enough cows. I'm not making that up. They're killing the food supply on purpose, and they're frantic that they can't do it fast enough. Oh, in the name of climate change, of course. And this isn't some radical street mob group. The Western governments, our own included, are attacking our food supply. Do you have an emergency 3-month food kit yet? You're gonna want one of those. I hope you never do, but the chances are you're going to want one of those. My Patriot Supply has them prepped, ready to fly out the door. They're delivered to your home anonymously. Please keep it that way. And don't eat it, buy it and stash it, please. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. That's your one-stop shop for all those. Everyone in your home needs an emergency 3-month food kit. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If one of your really good friends, your former colleagues, came to you and said, I have this thing that is being covered up, and I think the American people need to know about it, what advice would you give them?
I would advise them not to do it.
So you would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong.
You don't have to take it from me. Garrett knows. Joining me now, Garrett O'Boyle, former FBI agent, veteran, and patriot. You know, as that old saying goes, everybody wants to do a patriot until it's, everyone wants to be a patriot until it's time to do patriot things. Well, Garrett did patriot things and came forward, and now they're attacking him like the Cheka has always done. Garrett, you tell your story really quickly before we get into the latest and greatest. What did the FBI do? What did those great men and women at the FBI do to you when you came forward?
Jesse, first of all, thanks for having me back on. And, you know, like I said in my testimony, they'll try to crush you. And that's exactly what they tried to do to me and my family. We're now learning that that's absolutely what they were trying to do. And we have people in the FBI who were admitting that that's what they were trying to do. So while I was mid-transfer, they basically tried to strip us of everything and make us financially destitute, as the latest whistleblower revelation has revealed.
Garrett, speaking of latest whistleblower revelation, people are finding out the FBI, they're trying to purge people with military records? Garrett, why in the world would the FBI be doing such a thing?
Well, I think it's because we have gone beyond the pale as a country. And when the government is going to attack its military veterans, like me and others, I served a year in Iraq, a year in Afghanistan as an infantryman in the Army. They've deemed people like us to be a threat because we actually meant our oath to the Constitution, and we see that they are the ones violating simple American principles of freedom.
Garrett, okay, the FBI, people you're still in touch with, are they aware of what's happening? I'm trying to gauge what percentage we have to worry about here. I realize the whole thing is a concern. The ones just following orders are just as big of a concern as others, but how many of these people are truly committed to destroying every Republican, and how many are just following orders waiting for that pension?
I think the vast majority are just following orders, which honestly, it's not a good enough excuse. I've been in touch with a number of colleagues, former colleagues, over the last few days since this most recent whistleblower allegations and article came out. And some of them, they see it like I saw it, and they feel stuck. They don't know what to do. And then others keep their head in the ground like an ostrich and say, I didn't see what you're talking about, which, just based on my experience, everybody in the FBI can see and knows what's happening at this point.
Garrett, can you describe how things changed, or if they changed, after you got to the FBI? I guess I'm trying to understand, has it been this bad for quite some time and I'm just now coming to realization on it? Is this something that's gotten progressively worse over the last year, 5 years? When did it start getting really bad?
I think it's been really bad for a long time. I think I was fooled in 2018 when I was hired. I believed the FBI to be overall a pinnacle law enforcement institution in the world. And I think we all have been kind of duped in that regard, and we've believed this legacy of lies that is the FBI. And I think the real tipping point was in September of 2021 when President Biden mandated that federal employees get the COVID vaccination. At that point, it became very clear that the vast majority of people in the FBI, the people who are sworn to legally protect and uphold the Constitution, vast majority of them decided to opt for that paycheck over their principles.
Garrett, we just saw this Gregory Yetman story. FBI stakes out his home for 3 months, then they end up on some cockamamie manhunt before the guy turns himself in. We remember the story out of Utah just a few months back. 75-year-old fat old man who can't walk to the mailbox without a cane, and they kick in his door at 3 a.m. and he ends up dead. Is this stuff malicious? There are a million peaceful ways to take down a 75-year-old fat old man who can't walk the dog without a cane. You don't have to bust in his door at 3 a.m. Did they do this stuff on purpose, Garrett?
I do believe that this is intentional at this point. There's really no other logical explanation. I was an FBI SWAT agent myself. I know our good friend Steve Friend, he also was one. And these type of things go directly to some of the disclosures that he brought forward. We're using SWAT in instances that we really shouldn't. And don't get me wrong, SWAT has a place. But in the FBI, it's become the absolute hammer that they bring out whenever they want to make a show. And I think that's what we're seeing again here. And, you know, like you said, with this latest one in New Jersey, was that the best way to go about it? And, you know, the guy ended up self-surrendering later anyways. So perhaps being in touch with his attorney, you know, similar with the fat guy in Utah, like there are other ways to go about coming to a peaceful resolution. And it seems like the FBI always lately opts for the most difficult and the most likely that's going to end up in some type of violence.
Yeah, they sure do. Garrett, my brother, thank you. We're praying for you, hoping the best. All right, listen. I know when we talk about the FBI, you know, we open up the show talking about it. Now we've talked about it with Garrett. I know this stuff can feel overwhelming because you don't have access to elect these people, right? It's not the FBI is not somebody you can go vote out, right? So what can normal person do? What do normal people do? I want to reemphasize what I said in the opening. Your state has incredible powers. Your state needs to start using those powers and preparing to use those powers more in the future. State governments, specifically AGs and governors, they need to be completely reorienting their state police force, not to go after their own citizens, to stand up in defense of their own citizens. This may sound radical, this may sound over the top, but if you've read anything about the history of secret state police agencies, you will know this is our only path forward. It must be done. Without it, the checka comes for all. It's the way it works, right? All right, let's talk about economic things before we do that. Let's talk about our dogs. We want our dogs not only to live longer, we all do, we want them to live better. Meaning, I don't want my dog to have digestive problems and ear infections, and I don't want his coat to get dull and his energy to get low and his breath to get bad. And we assume these things are just natural, that these things happen to dogs. They're not just natural. These things happen to dogs because dogs don't get real nutrition. We give our dogs dog food and we think it's real nutrition, but there's no nutrition in dog food. That's why it's brown. That's why they have to spray lard on it to get your dog to even eat it. Otherwise, your dog would just look at it like it's a piece of styrofoam. Rough Greens gets poured on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. Your dog will get all the nutrition it needs to live longer and better. How about fewer visits to the vet? Free jumpstart trial bags. RoughGreens.com/Jesse, all right? RoughGreens.com/Jesse or 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we get inflation numbers tomorrow. I don't know that we need to stress about those because we already know they're awful. Look, it doesn't matter what the number says. It sucks. If you buy meat, you know they suck. But I want to get smarter today. You want to get smarter? That's why we brought Steve in. Joining me now, host of the great Steve Cortez Show, Steve Cortez. Okay, Steve, before we even get to what we're anticipating for tomorrow and all that other crap, before we do all that, can you explain to stupid people like me, what is the difference between CPI and inflation? And they throw in all these words, Steve, that community right. college people like me do not understand. So can you please break this down for normal people like me?
No, you're right. And I think, by the way, sometimes that's by design, that media, economists, oh, yeah. Wall Street people, they want to make things that are not complicated seem complicated so that people don't grasp necessarily the reality of what's happening. But of course, in this case, when it comes to inflation, particularly when it comes to tangible things, kitchen table items like food and gasoline and utility bills, people are very aware of what has happened in their lives since Joe Biden took office, and really since the lockdowns of 2020 and the exorbitant borrowing and spending began back then, and then was accelerated by Biden. But let me speak tangibly, since I don't want to confuse people. Food prices, grocery prices right now are up 20% since Biden took office. And if you don't like percentages, let me get into a couple of staples items, because I think this is really important. Let's talk about chicken breasts, boneless chicken breasts, up over $1 a pound since Biden took office. Ground coffee, up $1.50 a pound since Biden took office. So these are the real world tangible effects, the fallout of terrible economic policies and a Washington, D.C. that is intent on borrowing and spending this country into actual poverty. So the rate tomorrow may be slightly better than the most horrendous rates of last year. But Jesse, here's the important point. The media will try to fool people that inflation is going down. No, prices are not going down. The rate that you are getting bludgeoned might be slightly less worse, to put it in really simple street terms, okay? If you've been getting your butt kicked lately, okay, somebody is kicking you, punching you, and they're clubbing you. Well, maybe they put away the club for now, but they're still kicking you and they're still punching you. That's the reality of inflation going up. And tomorrow expectations are it's going to go up at 3.3%, which might seem okay compared to the recent past, but compared to most of American history, that's a terrible punishing number.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad, I want everyone to go read if you can. He has a piece up on his Substack about food inflation, and that's really what I wanted to get to next, Steve, is I want to know when it's going to stop. I got an email today, I read it 5 minutes before the show started. One of my listeners, he just sold his last gun to pay for his food and electric bill this month. They can't keep going this way. We're going to see people getting kicked out of their homes, moving back in with parents. That's where we're going. It's where we already are. When does it stop? That's what the normal person wants to know.
Jesse, it will stop when we stop borrowing and spending so much. That is the reality. Because unfortunately, right now, the trend, particularly in food, still remains very much a bull market for food, meaning food prices continue to go higher. And let me show you what I mean, not just by my opinion, but by actual prices in the market, because price is truth. There's a chart of DBA that I provided for your producers. DBA is a stock ticker. And even though it trades like a stock, it represents physical commodities. So everything from corn to cattle, all the things that are produced in the middle of this country, Jesse, the flyover places like Nebraska and Texas that feed the country that supposedly important people don't care about. So in that chart of DBA, you can see what I'm talking about. That goes back 1 year. And again, this is all the physical commodities, the input costs into food production, pork bellies, wheat, all of it. And as you can see, this going back 1 year, the trend is demonstrably from the lower left of your screen to the upper right. We just hit the highs for the year, and we are very near an all-time high. The highest this DBA ever got was 23. That was last year under Joe Biden. And to put that in context, this is up 36% DBA is since Joe Biden took office. So when I look at that chart, I don't think you have to be a Wall Street trader like I was for many years. You don't have to be a Wall Street trader to recognize that the trend here is clearly upward. It doesn't appear there's any relief in sight. And Americans are very cognizant of this. My organization, the League of American Workers, just took a poll of the key battleground states of this country. And we asked them, within inflation, what are you most concerned about? And Jesse, I was frankly surprised. Far and away, the number one issue was food, way above gasoline, above utilities, above rent. Yeah. Those were all significant. But food was 60% of Americans named food prices as either their number one or their number two inflation concern. So the most basic necessity of life, feeding your family, has become a source of real anxiety and real stress for Americans right now. This is a dire situation, Jesse.
It actually doesn't surprise me, Steve. I am amazed that amongst my normal friends, because I don't hang out with political people, how often that is brought up now. Food costs. You go to a neighborhood party on the weekend, you're there for 5 minutes and someone's complaining about the cost of beef, the cost of eggs. People are really freaking feeling it, which actually brings me to this. We just got word that consumer confidence hits a 6-month low. But what does that mean? What is consumer confidence? Why should I give a crap? Why do I care if the consumer is confident? What does any of this mean, Steve?
Well, you should care because confidence begets confidence. In other words, when people are feeling good, they generally will take more risks. They will spend more. They will borrow more. They will work harder. Unfortunately, the opposite is also true. When people are in a sour mood, when they are pessimistic, that can also become self-reinforcing to the downside. And as we see on that chart there, and this goes back 10 years, so I'm providing some context here. University of Michigan every single month does an index of consumer sentiment. And this is really the gold standard of consumer sentiment. It goes all the way back to World War II. I provided 10 years of data here, though. And as you can see, consumer confidence for many years before the lockdowns hung around in the upper 90s, basically up near 100, would occasionally touch 100. But America, a pretty confident nation on the whole. Not surprisingly, it tanked during the unscientific and draconian lockdowns. But guess what? It has continued to trend lower ever since. We just days ago, hit 60. Instead of the upper 90s, we're now at 60, well below the lockdown lows, the spring of 2020. We're at a new 6-month low. And what this tells us, again, Jesse, is not my opinion, not yours. This is empirical evidence that the American people are suffering from those food costs, from all of the other costs that are out of control. And if they're getting increases in their pay, they're not sufficient to keep pace with prices that are galloping higher. People are in a very sour mood, but they're in a sour mood for valid reasons. They are not fooled on these issues by the corporate media that is trying to gaslight them and pretend that this is a good economy. It may be a good economy for a very precious few. There are some folks out there and some companies who benefit mightily from inflation, but the vast majority of people, especially working class people, are suffering terribly right now, and we see it reflected in market prices. We see it reflected in surveys. You know, Shakira says hips don't lie. Well, the numbers don't lie. The numbers tell the tale right here. Unfortunately, that this is an economy that is in terrible shape, and it's putting Americans in an awful mood.
Yeah, more honest than Shakira's hips. Why is Moody's down on us, Steve, as we wrap this thing up here? Why are they down on us? Who's Moody's? Why should I care?
By the way, I had to mention Shakira because she's Colombian, and you know, since I'm of Colombian heritage, she's my favorite all-time Colombian, although Sofia Vergara is right up there. But listen, why should
Mine
we care
too.
About Moody's?
Yeah.
All right, Moody's and downgraded. Here's the issue. Right now, our total outstanding debt as a percentage of GDP, it is at a higher level now, Jesse, than it was during World War II. Think of the mobilization that it took to fight two concurrent wars across each ocean during World War II. We took on a mammoth amount of debt back then. We paid it off incredibly quickly afterward and into the 1950s and had an era of prosperity. We have more debt now relative to the size of our country than we did during World War II. So we're not a very good borrower anymore. Our credit stinks. If the United States has a credit score, and effectively it does from rating agencies like Moody's, that credit score is going down and down and down. The FICO score for the United States stinks. And unfortunately, Jesse, it deserves to be lowered.
Yeah, dang. Steve, thank you, brother. Come back soon. All right. Let's talk about education in this country. Before we get to education, I want to do this, though. You know, I tell you about Chalk all the time, right? Natural herbal supplements from the anti-communists at Chalk. You know they have a new thing? It's called, I'm not making this up, it's called Chad Mode. Of course, they took 2 years developing an all-natural pre-workout of some kind. How do you do, you know, natural, only natural caffeines? And not, because all this other stuff has all this other added crap in it. Well, Chalk came up with it. I love it. It's called Chad Mode. You take one of these in the morning, you are off like a rocket ship all day long, and it's not all that crap you buy at the gas station in the can. I take a male vitality stack every day and a scoop of Chad Mode every day. There's female vitality stacks. There's chocolate powder, whatever. Drop the big pharma crap and start going natural, all right? What you need to do is go to chalk.com and use the promo code JesseTV. That'll get you discounts across the board on everything, all right? JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They say, well, Eric, why don't you just stop letting them in? It's against the law. Federal law does not allow me to do that. Well, why don't you just deport? It's against the law. Federal law doesn't allow me to do that. This has created a crisis that's wrong for New York taxpayers, wrong for the migrants, and wrong for our city, and wrong for our country. And the national government is not doing their job. This is so devastating for our city.
Wow. That doesn't sound very welcoming anymore. What happened to the sanctuary city up there? Dang. Joining me now, Erica Donald. She is the CEO of Optima Ed. Okay, Erica, I don't understand what happened in New York City. I was told over and over again, what do they call these people? Migrants. They love, they're migrants, and that obviously it's a sanctuary place and it's a safe place. Is it no longer a safe place? What happened up there?
It's amazing how different they sound when it's no longer just Florida and Texas and Arizona dealing with this immigration crisis that we know is existing. It's great to hear finally the people of New York and the so-called sanctuary states, sanctuary cities, feel the brunt of this. Frankly, as someone who is a proponent of education reform and the children, the education that they deserve, our children have been feeling the brunt of this for many years. It's getting worse and worse as more of these migrants are flooding our cities and students are even more behind than they ever have been after COVID. And now New York City, as well as many other places around the country, are understanding that this influx of migrants is totally unfair. It's taking resources away from American students who need them so desperately.
Yeah, let's talk for a minute about the need of American students. I'm glad you brought that up, because right here where I sit, there's a tiny town called Alvin, about 5 minutes away from here. And in Alvin, they have to have a special Spanish-speaking wing. They are so overwhelmed with illegal immigrant kids. And Alvin isn't exactly posting the best doctor scores I've ever seen in my lifetime. This cheats American children, and not enough people talk about this.
You're absolutely right. There have been studies that an influx of non-English speaking students take resources away, teacher attention away. We're watching as places like Chicago and other major cities have to hire more and more social workers. They have to hire more special needs support. And those are not for American students who also need these resources. It's inevitable that resources are diverted to the ones who need them the most. And the migrant students are coming in very far behind with their educational progress. So teachers have to slow down an already slow and watered down curriculum. So what is happening to our American students who need the extra support after all of the learning loss that we saw during the pandemic?
Okay, setting the illegals aside in a moment, let's just focus on the American kids. Where are they? What is the status? Because every teacher I talk to, every educator I talk to, they tell me it is frightening how far behind American kids are compared to other kids around the world, and we are competing.
Well, we would like to be competing. I would say we're not doing a very good job. Yeah. We have 40 high schools in Baltimore, 40 entire high schools that have zero students who are proficient in math and reading. Those are entire schools with not a single child who is eligible for graduation through proficiency. We're looking at 38% proficiency in mathematics, grade 3 to 8 in New York City. The number is even lower in Illinois, 27% proficient in math. The majority of our students graduating from high school are not proficient at grade level. That is a ridiculous statistic. It means that we are not competing on the global stage. And these statistics are made worse by the fact that we have not done anything significant to ensure that students are caught up from learning loss after the pandemic. And instead, we are flooding our schools with students who need more and more support. How are we going to fix this? We need more transparency. Instead, we see Oregon completely eliminating the requirement that students be tested proficient in reading and math to graduate high school. Can we really call them graduates, or should we just call them finishers?
Okay. How could we be this far behind? Like, you referenced Baltimore schools, and obviously Baltimore has a million and one problems. I realize that. But the kids are going to a school, right? Something that calls itself a school, and they're sitting in a classroom by somebody who calls himself a teacher. What are they doing all day? Watching movies? Not that I had any problem with movie day, but what are they doing all day?
It's a good question. It's something that I've been battling for the past 12 years. There is a curriculum crisis in our country. The progressive curriculum, the ideology that's taking time away from the reading and mathematics that really should be the focus of our education institutions, just a lack of seriousness around the scholarly environment that we should be creating in our schools. Instead, we're talking about a focus on ideology, a focus on cultural issues. Really, it has taken away from the focus on reading and mathematics proficiency. And we've also seen, because of social pressures, schools moving children along who are not performing at grade level. And states like Florida, who've said you cannot pass third grade without reading, are now loosening those standards. We just saw a bill introduced here in Florida to try to eliminate the requirement for students to read on grade level by grade 3 in order to pass. We cannot allow this pressure to continue. In fact, we need to tighten those standards to ensure that students are not getting to high school without the skills that they need to be successful.
What's classical education? I'm sure that's not what I receive, but you said you're in favor of it, so it's probably good. What is it?
Right. At Optima Ed, we do run classical schools, including a classical online school that's available throughout the country. And classical education really takes you back to the traditions that have succeeded over thousands of years. A return to the liberal arts and sciences, including explicit phonics, explicit grammar, like diagramming sentences, classic literature, reading of source documentation, like the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and even going back to the Magna Carta. Truly learning the basis of scientific thought and theory, Socratic discussion and debate. It's teaching children all of the foundations of thought that have proven successful over thousands of years. And it gives them both the knowledge and the virtues to be successful in whatever that they decide to do in life after their education is completed.
Speaking of sentence structure, can you not end a sentence with the word is, just IS? Because I do that all the time and people yell at me and say that's inappropriate.
Well, listen, I am a CPA, not an educator. I'm in this because I needed school choice for my children. I discovered classical education. I ran for school board, discovered that the public education system is not the way that I would like to see reforms happen. In fact, it's just impossible in some ways to reform the public education monopoly. And so I started a company that's going to start schools and make a classical education available tuition free to as many families as possible, people who need it like I did for my own children. And so I feel your pain because I didn't get as good of an education growing up as my children are getting or the children in our Optima schools, but I'm determined to end that here and now and make sure that generations beyond us have that opportunity.
So what is this Optima thing? Is this homeschooling? Like if I want to yank my kids out of school, could I do this in my house? Or I should say my wife, not me.
You absolutely could. This is Optima Academy Online is available across the country as well as in states that offer education scholarship accounts, ESAs like Florida and Arizona, and you can access it for free. It's actually the world's first VR virtual reality school. So not only is it a classical style of education, but the live learning takes place in VR in three dimensions. So students can not only learn from a live classically trained teacher in a what looks to be a traditional classroom, they can also go to ancient Rome or Independence Hall and have the constitutional experience. Aww. Or even to the moon for the lunar landing. It's a pretty amazing school. And we have over 400 students in that experience in our second year of operation this year.
Oh, that sounds sick. My school sucked. All right, Erica, thank you so much. That was awesome. Thank you. That sounds freaking sweet. Man, the kids, you see, look, that's why we wanted to have her on. You have options for your kids now. If your kids are in some garbage public school, there are options, all right? Something to look into. All right. Still have light in the mood. Before we get to light in the mood, let's do something, though. Make preparations. What kind of preparations? Well, I don't know. Let's look at trends. What's the Chinese government doing? Do you think they're fairly in tune with the world economic system? What are they doing right now? They're buying up every pound of gold they can get their Chinese fingers on across the world. Every pound of it. They're acquiring it by the ton. Why? They see what's coming. Now, I don't expect you to be able to buy it by the ton. I certainly cannot. That's what Oxford Gold Group is here for. They're for normal people like you. You need to get some gold or silver, I don't care what color it is, in your retirement account. They can do that for you. And you need to get some in your physical possession. No, I'm not saying go buy $1 million in gold. I don't think you have $1 million. Get something, gold and silver coins, something that will last through whatever these people are doing to us. How do we do that? JesseKellyGold.com. It's Oxford Gold. It handles everything. They'll handle everything from there. JesseKellyGold.com. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams.
The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you like history? Before we lighten the mood, do you like history? You know, every so often, I will do a special on history. Why do we do that here? Because we love it. Me and the boys here on I'm Right, we love history, so we do specials on it. And they're all available on demand. Our latest one's on World War II, but there are many. All you have to do is go to thefirsttv.com/history. Go check out what we have. Might learn something. Might have some fun. All right? Speaking of history, I'm having this... I don't want to call it a midlife crisis, because I'm not having a midlife crisis, I want to be clear. But I'm having these various moments in my life that are making me feel old. For instance, I saw an article the other day, and the headline was referencing Bad Bunny. I asked my sons, I said, what is this? What's Bad Bunny? And they explained that it was some kind of musician. And I just sat back and thought, gosh, I feel old. I got my hair cut on Saturday or Sunday. Just buzzed. You know, got the beard trim and buzzed. And I'm looking down at the black, like, hair thing that they put on you. And there was a lot of gray on there. And I thought, gosh, I'm getting old. But I don't know that anything has made me feel as old as this ad from 1993.
Is talking on the phone getting out of hand? Look out! You need Phone Relief, the ultimate enhanced-free phone design. Watch. Simply attach the special double back fastener to any phone. Then attach the Phone Relief headset. It's that easy. Hands-free, pain-free, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. It's perfect for remotes. Now talk hands-free anywhere, anytime. Office work is a pain for Mr. Phone in the Neck, but you won't miss a beat with hands-free freedom. A must for the entire office. Work goes quicker and easier. The padded headset removes this easily and is fully adjustable. Best of all, Phone Relief works with your favorite phone, an amazing breakthrough product you'll use every day. Now only $12.95.
Aren't we all so old? I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.